I'm a lit kid. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Weed Blended and Blessed podcast. I am your host, Wayne G, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, the most beautiful,
Erica G.
Our podcast offers real life scenarios and situations that help you and your family overcome life challenges, grow, have fun, and be blessed. Today, we have some special guests along with us here today to talk about marriage and family. Check it out. We have Mr. Jorge and Deidre Espinoza, live from Utah, man.
Our special friends. Deidre.
Jesus Christ. I know I was gonna mess that up on my drop. But her real name that we like to call her by is Didi. And that's what makes our family, make this thing special.
You know how you've been having family members,
mm-hmm.
and you've been calling them by their nickname for a long time, and you just like never know their real name.
Yeah,
you just proved that to be true.
So that is most definitely it. That's what stick to me the most. You know, because they are family. They lived down here for almost in Louisiana for almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years, yeah.
Almost 2 years, and now we have a lifetime long friendship between us as adults and us as children, our children as well. It's definitely some good folks. So missed the times down here in Louisiana. We just gotta make it up to Utah to reconnect those bondings. So we're gonna talk about a few things that are very common to us. One of them, our podcast is about blended families. You guys are going to be in particular special talk about blending of cultures through marriage. You know, also talk about rearing of children and bringing families together through your union and how you do that kind of blissfully. You know, so we're going to jump right on into that. So tell us a bit about you guys. Who is Mr. Jorge? And Didi.
Like Wayne said, my name is Jorge, and this is my wife, Didi, and we've been together since 2010, and we got married in 2014, and we have two kids. We have Liam, who is 9. He was born in 2013, and then we have Lucia, who was born in 2018.
The princess.
Yep.
Yep. Princess Diva.
That's right.
Yeah. That's my girl.
And we ended up in Louisiana because I was working up there. And we had we were fortunate enough to find a great neighborhood with great neighbors. And like Wayne said, we just, you know, we became instant friends. And I'm happy that this is going to be a friendship that we're going to keep for the rest of our lives.
Indeed.
Most definitely.
Yes. More like a family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are.
And Jorge, where are you from? Tell us about where you're from.
I am Mexican. I was born in the northern side of Mexico, close to Texas. So the weather is very similar to Texas. Very dry, very hot. In the town of Torreón, Coahuila.
Okay. Yeah, you see that? Say that again. I like the way you just roll those R's, man.
So it's been, at first it was a great, because Utah is a very, I don't know if a lot of your listeners know, but Utah's predominant culture is white and Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came here, it was a bit of a culture shock. And when I say a bit, it was, a big culture shock, you know, coming into the country and going in and seeing mostly white faces. And I think now Utah is 10% Hispanic, but back when I came here, it was a lot smaller. So,
And when did you get to Utah?
I've been in the U.S. for about 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you were in Utah, and then you met Didi.
We met in college through a mutual friend,
mm-hmm.
who every Sunday she would like. This is a thing like in Mormon culture. Sundays a lot of Mormons would do like dinners or what is that called? Like
it was Mondays.
No, that was on Sundays though. The dinners were on Sundays, but they had the remember family after family home evening. That's it's Mondays called
here. Family home evening. Okay,
but I don't think it was that right. It was on Sunday. I remember
just family dinner.
Family dinner. So they a lot of friends get together on Sundays after church. And then they just have dinner or they hang out and just relax and watch movies or whatever. That's at least when we were in college, that's how it was. So,
okay. And Didi, so Utah native?
Yeah. So I wasn't born here, but we moved here when I was three. So
You're native. I grew up in New Orleans, but I was born in New York, but I'm no New Yorker. They call me country. They call me.
No, I'm definitely a native. Yeah, Utah is. Yes, that's all I know. I don't remember where I was born. I don't remember anything. So definitely Utah.
She was born in Lunchtal, Germany.
I was born in Germany.
Okay. Wait, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah. You Utah.
Yes, I'm Utah. Yes.
I never knew that.
And your family were Mormon.
Yes, so they were pretty active before I was born, and then eventually they kind of just stopped going. My mom still practices it, and then one of my brothers, but everyone else in my family, they aren't a part of the church anymore.
Okay, gotcha. So you guys have to kick it off. You're very different backgrounds.
Yes, very different
to begin with. So I don't think we covered this. We covered a lot when you guys were here, but who was into who first? I always like to figure this out.
I believe that.
He had his eyes.
I believe that.
He was super quiet. And when I first met him, he would just like look at me and smile. And at first I was like,
Shy guy approach.
Very shy, and he was quiet and reserved. But so I wasn't interested at first, and I even remember we would talk on the phone as friends, and I told him one time, I was like, you know what? I'm just like not interested in you like that. I don't want to date. But for him, that made him want to try even harder. So he kept pursuing me, and we would just like hang out as friends, and then I got to know him. And then that kind of just changed everything. So
yeah, so she
worked
she
for him. So,
and I can't believe you were so shy. Was that just were you
was,
just kind of putting on, or were you really shy?
No, I mean at first I was, but
okay.
Then I wasn't.
Then yeah, no, I got to see more of him and his personality, just hanging out as a group of friends and just as friends.
Yeah.
They call it the shy guy routine. Shy guy routine kind of worked out in your favor. Very, very interesting there. So when did you guys know that? When did you know that you wanted to get married? Like, when did you feel that? What led you to that feeling that this is the one for me?
Well, we were dating for a while, and we kind of knew that was the case, but we were still very young.
Yeah.
And so that created a lot of issues, and then her family wasn't too happy about us dating when we started. So I think when people come into, especially, you know, from when you're coming from, like, what is like a...
Well, I think it was mostly because he wasn't in the typical LDS Mormon culture kind of guy. And even though they weren't like super active.
And
he wasn't white. I don't know. But I think they just didn't accept him right away because he wasn't the typical Utah stereotype that they thought I would go for. So I think that, and he was quiet around them too, but I think it had to do with that mostly.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so I was quiet because in Mexican culture, like, you're very respectful towards the parents. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's the case here, always here, and at least from what I saw. Because I've seen a lot of people be disrespectful towards their in-laws when even to when they were dating, you know, and so I had friends who would do that kind of stuff, like joke around, and I wasn't like, that's not what we do, is like, sir, ma'am, you know, and like in Mexican culture. And to us, like being quiet is like a sign of respect. And they were like weirded out by it. So I think it was, they just weren't open or receptive to the idea of Dee dating a Mexican guy. That was ultimately the case.
I also think in Utah, people are very closed-minded. And like you said, it's mostly white people,
yeah,
in this really closed, reserved culture.
Yeah.
And it's mostly, like he said, LDS people. So I think just being open-minded to other cultures is kind of hard for people in Utah, but it's getting better. But back when we were dating, it was very different.
And you said LDS. What is that?
So that is what they call, that's what they call Mormons. It's Latter-day Saints. Latter-day Day Saints. Yeah, yeah. So LDS.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. I heard that before. I didn't know that they kind of had an acronym for it.
LDS.
Yeah. So that created a lot of friction in our relationship. But then we had Liam, like, while we were kind of dating. And then that's when we decided to, you know, be like, okay.
But we had been together for 3 years before.
Yeah, yeah. We were together for a while. And then Liam happened. And then we got married the year after Liam was born.
Okay. So the shock of you dating, you know, basically going outside of the norm for Utah folks and dating someone like Jorge, who is an exceptional guy, which you knew that before everyone else did, right? Yes. So when did you like have that say that this is the guy for me? Like what kind of led you to that idea and those feelings?
So for me, I saw that he was hardworking. I think that was mostly what I saw, and that he just like, I don't know how to say it. Like he never gave up. He just always went for what he wanted. And I think I saw something in him that I was like, okay, well, he's not just gonna like be lazy. And so he's a hard worker, and I really liked that about him.
Most definitely. He's definitely a hard worker. Mm-hmm. His education can speak to that alone. How many degrees you have right now, Jorge?
We got four going for the fifth one. Yeah.
Yeah. My guy, he is my inspiration.
All while working. He's not just a full-time
he's not
student.
A full-time student.
He works and go to school.
He's a dad.
And he's a dad. And a husband.
And a husband.
Yes, a lot.
And helping around with the business, too.
Yes.
And present, business.
A present husband.
So before we go into the other stuff, let's talk about the business right quick, since you mentioned that. Tell us a little about your business, because you recently started this when you went back to Utah. We fell in love with the business idea, the concept, while you guys were here being introduced to it in Louisiana. But now you went back up to Utah and it looked like it's catching fire. Tell us a little bit about your business to let everybody know.
So his mom has been making piñatas since. He's the firstborn in the family. So she's been making piñatas for 34 years now.
Okay.
34 years. And she would just do it for birthday parties and just a few family friends and just here and there. And we'd always tell her to sell them. And we did try to get her to start a business a year ago, but she got really nervous doing it all by herself. So when we moved back, I was helping her with piñatas in the summer. And then we had a friend ask us to make piñatas for the Utah Jazz team because she works for them. Mm-hmm. So we made 30 pumpkin piñatas for the family and their team, the family's team.
Yeah, the players.
Yeah, the players. And then after that, I was like, you know what? Let's just do it. I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make them. And then that kind of pushed his mom to also, she helps me a little bit when she can. But I just fell in love with it. It's like an art. It's just something I can do at home, be with the kids. And I think it's important to like spread more of like, my kids are half Hispanic, and I think it's this is a way to get people to be introduced to that culture and just be more open to it and the traditions that it has.
Which is really big, because keep in mind, Utah is only 10% Hispanic. So to bring piñatas is like, this thing catches fire, and it's like, hey, we didn't even know.
And they look pretty awesome. Where, if someone wanted to order one, where can they find them?
So the business is called Mama's Piñatas. So we're on Instagram. We have an Etsy shop. We do have a website, but right now it's mostly on Etsy. Mm-hmm. But if you just type in Mama's Piñatas, it will pop up.
And that's M-A-M-A-S?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Cool, cool. Go check that out, please. Indeed, check those guys out, because those piñatas, they look real nice before.
Yeah, and we actually
kids tear open into them.
Yeah, the kids have a lot of fun.
Yeah, that
we used to have them, like birthday parties for us. We used to have piñatas, but that was like when I was a kid. But
yeah,
maybe we should bring it back. I think adults would really. Man, remember when Jorge had?
Yeah,
we make it. Jorge had a lot of fun. When his mom made the piñata when she visit. So yeah, we should probably bring that back to adult parties too and see how that goes.
So when you guys were in your early phases of your relationship and you look at the cultures and trying to kind of figure out where you fit in, what kind of adjustments did you have to make with one another to make this thing kind of, you know, take off?
Well, I think for him, it was a huge adjustment moving here. So he had to adjust to a whole different kind of culture and how people act here. Just like even greeting people here is very different than they do in Mexico, or just like in his culture where they hug and embrace each other and they'll give each other kisses on the cheeks. Like, you don't do that here. That people get weirded out. They're just like, oh, what are you doing? Like, you're in my bubble. You're in my space.
So talk about how is it in Utah? How was it back then, you know, for you guys? What's the difference then?
We still get looks, you know. We go to the store and like, hey, can I help you?
Like, us as a couple or for him when he moved here?
No, like as a couple, like, oh, what are the adjustments that we made?
I mean, I got a lot of comments like, oh, I would never see you dating a Mexican boy. Like, I would have never pictured you with a brown boy. Like, I heard it all, and I always felt like I had to defend him. Like, well, no, he's like really educated. Like, I think there was a stereotype that people just have in their head of different cultures, and I always felt like I had to defend him, and I was like, that's so, like, that's not right that I have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, and in the Mormon culture, when, like, Jorge is very affectionate, you know, greet and embrace people, in the culture at the time, how would you guys embrace, or would you not embrace one another?
Yeah, we embraced each other.
I know you guys were, but in the Mormon culture, how would the Mormons?
Oh, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, there are some Mormon people. But honestly,
I mean, our friends, our immediate friends were like happy for us and stuff, but
they all knew
looks.
You.
Yeah, we did get looks, and she got comments mostly from her friends, not from my friends. Her friends were kind of.
Were just like people I kind of. Knew they would just say stuff.
Yeah, they would say rude stuff, so she just kind of ignore it, I guess. It never really, I don't think it ever like affected us. Like, we never had a fight over somebody calling, you know. It's just like, because when I came here, I got used to it, you know, and I developed like thicker skin, so I got used to all those things, you know. But now going thinking about it, you're like, oh shoot, dude, that was messed up, you know. Stuff that I would get, you know. But then you just learn to roll with the punches. You know, life ain't easy. So you can either cry about it, or.
And a lot of people aren't educated, I think, also with.
There's some people that are educated too that went on missions to like Latin American countries that would say racist stuff, you know? So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just.
We would like to think that we would like to think that education would help, you know, bridge some of these gaps and not cause, you know,
right,
issues and stuff like that.
Right.
And it happens for many of us, you know, when you talk about the cultural differences that you see, you know, when Jorge, you fitting into the Utah life, how was that adjustment period for you? Like, and talk about, you know, getting into that space. How did you find comfort in being, I guess, uncomfortable?
You know, for me, I think it was my mindset. I think life has to do a lot with mindsets. And when I came here, even though, because we were homeless for about a year in Mexico, that's why we came here. It was like literally a Hail Mary, you know, for my parents. But for me, it was the mindset of coming into a new opportunity, a new life, and, you know, taking a shot, you know what I mean? So I was never scared of taking a shot, even though there was a lot of hurdles, a lot of people would just try to, you know, tear you down and tell you you're not good enough. You can't do this because you're brown. You did this. You can't go to college. You can't be an engineer. You can't get good grades in math. And then went to college, became an engineer, got better grades than most people in math. So it just, life is about developing this mindset of, you know, looking at, you know, trying to get the most out of every situation. So that was the difference, I think.
Gotcha. Most definitely. So when you guys connect, I know, you know, you guys personally adopting the different culture norms of one culture over the other and combining those two. I know, Didi, you've done an excellent job in cooking the Mexican food.
I still talk about Erica these still refried talk about beans. Refried beans
to this day. And every time she gets some refried beans that is not like Didi, she will mention it.
No, it's not. And it's
homemade.
It's not, and it's painful. Okay, it's really painful, and I'm like
where are my friends? She'll frown. She's like, you know, I wish I can get some refried beef from Dee.
I love it. Like, I learned all the cooking from his mom. So
who also she can come to Louisiana tomorrow.
She is a blessing. She get down here and she just
love her.
Find her way, make herself at home. So, you know, so when you, in order to do that, Didi, you have to, you know, not everybody wants to adopt some of the culture things of the next person, even take passion in cooking. You know, things that other people will like. Some people just don't like to cook, right? And then you've taken, you know, an effort into understanding, you know, how to do it and do it very well. So talk about, you know, like that adopting or wanting to do that, because, you know, our married listeners, everybody needs to take a page out the book and wanting to cook for their spouses, either man or woman, take that effort to do that and do things and take passion in it. Cause you can do it. You can get on a stove and put something together and that's what it will be. But to take something, put it together and put a little love and tenderness into it, to make it work, that takes effort, you know? So talk about your process of really trying to understand, you know, how to be better at something that obviously you wasn't cooking refried beans your whole life. Mm-mm. You know.
And then you meet Jorge, who loves refried beans and eats them every day. Like, what?
With everything.
Every day.
Has beans and cheese, he's good. But no. You know what? I always saw his mom cooking. And I didn't have a family that really, like, cooked or anything, so I never saw that passion with cooking. It was very just like his mom, like, there was love always in the home. He always would rather eat at home, then go out. But what he explained to me when I did start cooking, because I didn't understand why it was so important to him, was that when he first moved here, his mom, even though they were struggling so much, she always like made sure they had really good meals to eat and everything. So I think that's him explaining that was like important. So that's why I tried to cook better for him.
It wasn't easy.
No, it wasn't easy.
Because I think, I don't know if how to say it, but I think nowadays there's, for example, I don't think the roles in a lot of relationships are very, they're not equal, you know. I think a lot of the times what happens is that, and I'm not saying all the time, but from what I've seen and, you know, with my siblings too, is like, for example, my brother, he works his butt off, and then his wife stays home, and then he comes home and, you know, there's no food. Like, he actually cooks, makes the food, you know. And to me, I told her, I was like, listen, if there's no better, there's no higher calling in this world than raising children, you know. That you could be an engineer, send rockets to space, but there's, it's not the same. There's the,
talk
there's
your this, stuff, Jorge, just 1 minute, 1 second. Okay, but go
this,
ahead.
There's this sense of, I don't know, accomplishment and just continuance into eternity, you know, if you will, when you are able to raise, you know, good children, good citizens, with good morals, good values, you know, and part of that comes being nurturing. And how do you nurture someone the best? Well, you know, in Mexican culture is through food. And so that's how you show love a lot of the times in our culture.
So. Love language is food.
That's why it's always so good. It really makes sense. Because, like, no, seriously, like Mexican food, that's something my family probably wouldn't eat it every day. But I think I could.
Well, I mean, it's normal for us. For us, it's just food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's like also like Wayne said, you know, take pride in what you do, even if it's the smallest thing, you know, because that just makes life so much better, you know, when you take pride in the little things, because the little things add up to the big things and they matter. So,
right. Because, I mean, one, you know, some people can take the attitude of, you know, I'm not your mom, so I'm not gonna learn how to cook how your mom cook. You're gonna eat what I know how to cook, and you better live with it. You know, get your mama to fix you some refried beans and taquitos and all that other good stuff. You know, but it does, you know, when a person takes that effort to try to, you know, make that connection. I mean, I think it goes a long way. And of course, we have benefited from that, too, of Didi's cooking, of having my wife. Again, I can't express it enough. Those refried beans and my kids.
And that's not it. You know, that's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, and then our kids, they didn't even eat Mexican food outside of Taco Bell until you guys came to the neighborhood. So that's how much a benefit. So I pay tribute to you, Didi, to when you take the time to learn how to do something, how the love of and your passion one puts into to that kitchen, to the elbow, and hitting the pots. Other people benefit from that.
Yeah, and still just spreading the culture of it. Right. Too, like inviting people over, you know, to have dinner with you guys. You know, we had dinner a lot together. You know, the kids switch houses on where they would go. Didi is a superstar mom, so she usually had dinner cooked way before we would. So the kids will typically eat over there, and sometimes if they're still hungry, they may eat at our house too. But
right, she would have dinner at 6 o'clock.
We had a little bit. I know by 6 o'clock she has stuff done. My girl, but we had a a small chat before we started recording about Mexican food, right? And Jorge is very he is a true Mexican, like in every sense of the word. So tell people, Jorge, how do you have to eat your food?
I put lime on any kind of meat. I don't put lime in my beans or my eggs, but rice, any kind of soup, anything that has meat. What else?
Everything.
Like chips.
Chips sometimes, yeah, like Takis with lime. Yeah. Lime is my favorite. So
He doesn't like the salsa. Nope. He doesn't like the guacamole. Nope. He doesn't like really the only spicy thing he eats is Takis.
Yep.
It's about the only spicy thing. His family has this joke that his wife is more Mexican than he is.
Yeah.
So they like to tease him and they're like, Where did you come from? Like you weren't from this family, just like joking. Mm-hmm. So they definitely they'll make comments like that when I'm eating salsa, the spicy things are like, oh my gosh, she's eating it. She's more Mexican than you, Jorge.
Yep. And Dee can also make salsa too, by the way. So
yes. Like everything Mexican. Y'all can just move back tomorrow. but not when it comes to like real tequila. If you ask him about real tequila, I think he can show you the way. So you can't test him on that one.
I drink it straight. Yep. Drink it straight.
With lime.
With lime.
No, I don't. No,
with lime?
Oh, I see.
Straight. I like tasting it. And when you use a lime, because lime is really sour, it takes away, you know.
Ah.
So.
Okay.
Okay, so now let's get to this piece. One of these days I'm going to grow up and be like and my good friend here. When you talk about the cultural differences, how do the cultural differences, you know, affect your parenting? How do, you know, Jorge, your life was grew up one way. Didi's life was another way. And of course, we all know that the way you grow up is, you know, and how your upbringing is, that impacts how you are as a parent, right? You know, the way, you know, our parent, sometimes there's always a variation from the way that your parents parent. You tell, I'm never going to do that with my kids. You know, right. I'm not going to be like her. Not going to be like him, so on and so forth, you know. And of course, with you guys coming from different cultures, you know, how does that impact your parenting?
Oof, I've never really thought about
it. I know. You're definitely more strict.
I am very strict, I think. Way more
and that
strict.
Comes from your, and that comes from your culture?
Yeah, I mean, I was, yeah, my dad from used to spank the poop out of me, you know. Like, yeah, so it was very strict growing up. My parents were, and so I'm strict in that. I'm not as strict as my parents, but I'm definitely more strict than Dee Dee and most of my friends, because all my friends here in Utah are pretty much white. So yeah, like I was hanging out with one of my buddies the other day, and I remember telling Dane, you know, like, and my buddy Dane, you know, he's very, very sweet and very, kind and you know,
easygoing,
and so sometimes they tend to have issues with the girls.
Too soft.
Yeah, I mean that's just the way he does it, you know. And I just like I just look at him like, bro, you gotta step it up. You know, and he just looks at me back. He's like, and he's very relaxed, and like he's like, I know. But yeah, man. I mean, I think most Hispanic, most Mexican people are still very strict in their parenting style. So
they're not soft parenting. What is no. Gentle parenting.
So now are we on this subject? This is something that my wife always liked to talk to me about, of trying to be of an influence. Me, I am not a a gentle parent. I don't even know how to be. I don't even know how to be gentle really with my children. It's something that
except the girls.
Except for the girls. Even with the girls, I can still
be, yeah. Yeah.
A bit rough. Not gentle parenting.
To who?
I mean, I'm not beating my daughters. I never said that. But I will go upside them boys' head in New York second. So talk about, you know, the concept. Of course, today everybody is a few degrees of how your parents were. You're a few degrees of how, especially when it comes to discipline, right? You're a few degrees away from that. Mm-hmm. When it comes to gentle parenting, what's your take on that kind of stuff?
I don't even know what that is.
I think it's mostly like when I was younger, I would get yelled at for like spilling or just like, you know, little things like that. Like, oh, you spilled all this milk everywhere. And then like you get spanked over that. Just like little things you would just always get in really big trouble. So for gentle parenting, instead of like making it a huge deal if they make a mess, you're just like, okay, let's clean it up together. Like you kind of, that's gentle parenting. Instead of freaking out at them and getting really upset, you're just like, okay, it's okay. Like, let's just clean it up. Like, that's just an example.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, but I think, go ahead.
No, I'm done. That's it.
Because I guess from my perspective, if I had to say it, I would think Didi is more on the gentle parenting side.
Yes.
And Jorge, not so much. So when you look at that, how is it adjusting to Jorge's discipline of the children?
I like it when he disciplines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't like to be the bad guy.
Just today.
I don't have a problem with being the bad guy.
No, like. Didi, no bad guy for you.
I mean, yeah, I do, but like, I think it's because the kids are with me all day and then I'm doing it all day, so they don't listen to me anymore. I'm just like annoyed in the background.
I feel you.
No worry, Erica does it. Your daddy be here in a second.
Oh, I use the daddy thing. I'm like, do you want me to call your dad? Because, mm-hmm. like, Wyatt laughed at me when I threatened to spank him, and he was like,
he
laughed. And his new thing is, like, if he do something, he'd be like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, what is that?
Yeah. He'll do it and say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Okay.
I'm sorry. Like, don't take it personal. I'm sorry. Yeah, and
there's definitely like a limit where I'm understanding and then I like have a breaking point, but he definitely knows how to he just has that voice and that stern face and
yeah.
It's just like, okay.
No, I mean, you'd be sitting there like, I've been telling you that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think in nowadays you see a lot of people trying not to be strict with their kids. And I think that's, in my opinion, that, you know, and again, this is my opinion, that's a mistake. You know, I don't just yell at my kids when they do something wrong, but what I try to do with my kids is trying to help them develop good habits, good daily habits where they can, you know, because I think when you develop good habits, then you develop a good mindset. And when you develop a good mindset, then you can do anything you want in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, you know, I started with Liam with, he hated it and I was strict about it. But, you know, I was like, hey, you got to do math, you gotta do homework, math, coding, and then, you know, your exercises. And he doesn't notice, but, you know, in math, he's way ahead of his classmates, and he'll come home, he'll like be happy that he got an A, or, you know, and I'm like, how does it feel? He's like, it feels good. And I was like, I didn't do anything. I just, you know, you did it all yourself kind of thing. But I'm still strict because he's still a kid, you know, and I'm like, do your thing. Do your exercises right now, you know.
I think just having a routine.
But a routine is what I'm trying. If I can teach my kids anything, is to develop a good routine. You develop a good routine, you literally can do anything in life.
Yeah, we had to have that conversation today with BJ. because now as he gets older and starting like with the phone and wanting phone time, and I don't know what it is about the school system here this particular school year, but they are not giving homework because they're designating home time as family time. But for me, when I was coming up, that was the way you applied what you learned in class, was to do homework. And so with them not doing that anymore, he comes home and his routine kind of sucks right now, if we're honest. And so we had to have a come to Jesus today. And so now he's going to have a new routine, and he may not like it, but I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Liam's pretty much white, you know, but me being brown, I know that life is harder for, you know, people that are brown and black people, you know, like it's just harder. That's just the way it is. And it's not
going to change. Liam also is very proud to be half.
Oh, yeah. I know. But what I'm trying to develop in him is the mindset that I have. That's what I want him to learn. Because I honestly think life is not going to be very hard for him. Like, he's white, straight up.
He
doesn't take crap. Like, the other day, we got called into school because Liam was helping a kid from being bullied, you know? And so, and I walk into the freaking meeting, and Liam was right there. I was like, I told the teacher, I was like, don't call me over these things. Liam knows that he needs to be responsible for individuals who are weaker than him. And I told him if he punches a bully in the face, he's going to get rewarded for that. And so the teacher just kind of sat there and they looked at me and they're like,
oh my God, this brown guy, he's breaking the rules up here.
Yeah. And Liam was just sitting there like, and I was like, how is he doing in school? Oh, he's great at math. Oh, how is he reading? Good. I was like, why are you calling me, pretty much? I was like, the older I get too, I demand more respect because I didn't get much growing up from people. I still don't, you know, like.
You have to demand it.
You know, I've paid my dues. And if people are going to act like them, and that's not acceptable to me, you know. But they're going to know that it's not, I'm not an easy target. You know, I have more confidence in myself. I'm not going to tolerate anyone belittling me. Belittling. So anyways, yeah.
Go ahead. So this is another thing that comes up. And of course for me, Erica mentioned it to me. I'm a bit different from my boys than my girls. Of course, for a long period of my life, I didn't have any boys. And not only did I get one, I got three, with this woman, right quick in a midget of time. But I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, how is it different from parenting boys versus girls?
Oh man. Oh, we've had this discussion a lot.
He's harder on Liam than he is with Lucia.
Yes.
Listen. I don't know what people are saying out there and how, but men, I do believe men we have to go out in the world and create value for ourselves to become maybe a good match for somebody, or we have to bring value into the table to find
a good valued woman.
Woman, you know, and for women, like, it's just not the same, you know, like, a woman, since they're born, for the most part, you know, it's just, how would you explain it?
They have value because they have the ability to bring.
They have, a woman can create life. It's like the greatest gift that, you know, you could have. Create a life is like the greatest, most amazing, freaking blessing that somebody can create. And men just can't do that, you know.
Right.
A woman has to carry somebody in there. Imagine that, carrying somebody in your body for 9 months. I mean, wow, right? I mean, we can't do that. Wayne and I can't do that. So, but how do we create our value? Well, you have to go out there, work 12 hours a day, you know, provide a good a good home for to what's the word?
Provide
and provide a good to your family. There's a word, I just can't think of it. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's the world is different, you know. We're equal in the sense that we have the same rights, but we're very different in the sense that even from a biological perspective, you know, men create a lot more testosterone than women, you know. Men have abilities that women don't have, and women have abilities that men don't have. And I think that's a beautiful thing, to be different, you know. Well, I just don't think we should all strive to be the same. Women are beautiful because they have their own abilities, their own way of seeing the world. So when I tell Didi, I'm like, I don't understand why a lot of women want to be like men. They want to be the alpha. I'm like, dude, you know, like I would rather stay home and take care of my kids, you know, because a lot of times you're in the workplace and you get chewed out, you get yelled at, and you have to just sit there and say, you know, like, okay, you just have to take like, nah, I told Didi, I'm like, let's become millionaires so I can stop that stuff, you know. And like,
I feel you.
I'd rather stay home and read books and play video games and hang out with my family and I don't know, do other stuff, you know, enjoy time. Like, I've been at the house for like a month and it was awesome. It was awesome. I just helped her with the business. I took care of the kids. We just hung out at home and it was awesome. It was a great time.
For me. I'm here for it. I think I need to be a stay at home mom, babe. Oh, I don't think he was ready for that, y'all.
Like I told her, it depends on what you want in life, you know.
You know, I think there's ways to create value, you know, because I would not be the kind of guy that just sits on the couch. No, I would go out there and create value, you know. Businesses, like we're doing this business, but then we're looking into other ventures, you know. We're investing in real estate. And then we're also, you know, in real estate in the U.S. and then in Mexico. And then, you know, so we want to create value, just not working for somebody else.
Creating wealth for your family, generational right. wealth. And it right. starts and you kind of like breaking cycles and societal norms and doing yeah. what people, you know, said you couldn't do, mm-hmm. you know, who is this kid who couldn't make good grades in math, right? Now, you know, he's working on his fifth degree. He did send part of, you know, he worked on the rocket that went out of space just recently with NASA. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, I guess, achieved these accomplishments, and now you're kind of branching off into entrepreneurship in right. real estate. I think you need to understand math for that too. So you're doing all of these things and then too, you know, passing it along to your kids. And it is different, you know, with rearing the children for boys. It's hard for me to watch him discipline BJ sometimes, but I know that it's necessary. I know that especially.
That's how I am too.
Yeah.
It's the mom heart. Like you see your little yes. boy and you see that they have that sweet side mm-hmm. and you're like, oh no, like don't do that. Don't do them that.
Yeah, that's yeah. not nice. But then this world, when they go out into the world is going to tell him.
The world is cruel.
Yeah, and they're going to tell them so much more. And then
they
too.
The mom doesn't want them to feel like that.
Yeah.
Be safe with you.
And I think, I think they need that, you know, that understanding the kids. But I think there has to be a balance, you know, and that's why I say, you know, we're not the same, and that's a beautiful.
Yeah, that's the difference, and that's the point.
That's the difference, man, and that's the point. That's why there is a woman and there's a man, you know, because we bring different things to the table, and that's a beautiful thing. Otherwise, you know, there's gonna be there's no balance, you know. Even if you look at physics, the universe without balance, there's, you know, you're gonna get pulled into one direction too much, and then. I think even when you look at politics too, you know, the best way to live when the nations are the best is when we are, you know, in the center, not when we're polarized, like you've seen now there's too much fighting, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So there needs to be balance, you know, and so I think it's a beautiful thing. So
Yes, absolutely. Like, balance is definitely the key to ultimate success.
And happiness, too. Happiness. Like, people are much more happy when things are in balance, like there's a balance. And that's kind of, you know, what I mean, that's what life is about, right? Like, that equal balance of success. You know, you have your failures, you have your success, you have your ups, your downs, the highs, the lows. And so that's just how it goes.
So now, one of the things before we get ready to close, when not only do you have your own individual units that you blend together, how do you guys go about, especially with the holidays coming about now, you guys back in Utah, how do you blend the families together? You know, your families, their family, Jorge's, Didi's family. Do you guys all blend together? How is that process like?
I think for my family, they've been more open throughout the years. They've gotten a lot better with Jorge and just accepting and having their eyes opened. And they love to, we'll invite them to parties, and it might be a little bit different for them, but they come and they stay and they like the food, they eat the food, they try it. So I feel like just being married to Jorge, they've learned a lot about his culture, and they're more accepting, and they're softer now.
Yeah. And I also showed him, like, I was not going to take any more of their crap. So
I love Jorge. Okay.
My guy.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where I had to be very stern with them, because in the past I was quiet and I was like, okay. And I didn't say much. But then there was a point where I was like, okay, you know, I got to step up and I got to tell him how it is, and I'm not going to let him keep going with this. So I actually got in, not a fight, but I raised my voice at Didi's mom one time, and I think she got, after that, it was, everything kind of changed. I think from that point after that, they were very different. And now I think, I don't know, I mean, I'd say your parents really like me.
Yeah, no, they've definitely changed a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what you call boundaries.
That is boundaries. And then some people don't know what they don't know. Right. Sometimes you don't know when you are offending someone. You don't know what happens, because, you know, I met your mom and I wouldn't know. But, you know, who knows? You probably set the stage for, you know, her meeting your very black neighbor, like very, very black. It's no, you know, but she was such a sweetheart. So, you know, you never know why things happen the way they happen, because it could be hard, you know, having your black neighbor walk in the house and just be like, hey, honey, I'm home. And you'd be like, wait, hold up. Who are these people? Who are these people? What are they doing in your house, Didi? There's black people. Yes. And I love her. Like, we still are like friends on Facebook, Instagram. So we keep up. So I see her face, you know, quite often.
So, you know, and sometimes when to talk about that moment when you had to really set the boundaries, I always look at the boundaries as boundaries are for your protection. And it only offends people that overstep your boundaries, you know, and that's what the boundaries are there for your own protection. But the people that offend them are the ones that need them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so when you put the boundaries in place, I think, you know, in some in-law relationships, sometimes they're done sooner than later. Thank God. I don't know if my in-laws, they've been around this rodeo before.
They've been around what rodeo?
Just knowing about boundaries. So I haven't had to say anything. I have the best set of in-laws that I can possibly ask for. You know, they don't meddle. They don't get in the business. They know how to respect space. They know how to offer helping hand, when needed. They know how to back off when needed. And they can really sense the temperature of the room. So sometimes, that is a big help in marriage, especially in the earlier years, when you're forming, of having that understanding, right? So as you guys blend the families, how do you, when do you have opportunities where you bring everybody together, and how does that go?
Yeah, we do. I think now is like, it's great. I mean, there's still some issues like with every family, but no, I think it was, they always enjoy the food and it's always a good time now. I think Dee Dee's mom is the one that usually looks forward to these things kind of the most out of her family. You know, she's always trying to be like, hey, where are you going? I want to come. I want to do this. I want to do that. So, but I think it's a great opportunity, not only for them, but for everybody that's in our immediate circle to sort of experience that openness and how beautiful life is when you blend it with different people and different backgrounds. So it's more fun. You know, when we go to Mexico, it's awesome because she goes in and everyone's like, oh my God. Like, and then she's like, oh, I've never been to a wedding like this, or I've never done this and that. And then we get to experience it together, you know? So that's,
yes,
it's awesome.
I love that. I love, obviously, everything blended. And then of course, having known you guys, I've seen it for myself. You guys are a light, and I appreciate our friendship. No amount of distance at this point has separated us. Yeah. We still, still feel the same way. So I love that. We always enjoy talking to one another. Our relationship really resembles, the iron sharpens iron type of scenario. So you guys' perspective on life is one that we could learn from and also agree with at times, because, Jorge, you experience some things that we experience as well. And Dee Dee, you empathize with those things. So it, again, the balance and the beauty in blending cultures and things like that.
No, I just want to, give credit and give you flowers. Yep. You guys, you make it look easy, and we appreciate you spending time with us today on the We Blending and Blessed podcast. Yep. And we, with that, we'll go ahead and close, man. Thank y'all for your time. It's been a pleasure to have y'all, and we'll end with that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for having us. It was awesome. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the We Blended and Blessed podcast. Until next time, stay blessed.
Please be sure to like, follow, or leave us a comment on our Instagram page at @everythingiswe_NOLA. Hit us up with any questions or comments at our email address. It's everythingiswe.nola@gmail.com. I'm a lit kid.